We're about to hit a verse, my friend, that you might not know what to do with. I know that many, many years ago, probably 25 years ago, I didn't know how to handle this verse. Let me tell you about it. Colin Cook here, and how it happens. Thank you very much for joining me. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in conflict with their humanity. That's all of us, of course, in one way or another. We either have obsessive thoughts or worrying, anxious thoughts, or we have compulsive behaviors like drugs or alcohol or food issues or anxiety or heterosexual or homosexual addiction. And don't think you're excluded, my friend. As I've said so many times before, humanity itself is in a state of addiction. It is in flight from pain. That's the message of the gospel. We find Jesus and there is the beginnings of the release from pain, but for many, it takes way into the conversion experience. Anyway, let's look at this verse that I'm talking about. We're in Romans chapter 4, and Paul, through the incredible cleverness of the Holy Spirit, has taken up the issue of Abraham. You see, the Jew would disagree with Paul vehemently about being justified or declared innocent by faith without the works of the law. The theological Jew would disagree with Paul on why God took up the Jews, why God took up Abraham. It wouldn't be grounded in the sheer love and mercy of God in their thinking. No, it would be grounded in the covenant of the law, that the people had the law, kept the law, and were privileged people because they were given the law. This is a foundation that Paul takes away, and he demonstrates it by Abraham. And he says, in verse 3, for instance, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted or accounted to him for righteousness." And Paul makes a big deal of this word accounted. He said, if the salvation, the righteousness that Abraham was given came as a result of his creating and producing righteousness, then it wouldn't be counted to him. It would be recorded as something that he had. But he says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And so Paul makes this major point that Abraham must have become aware that God was treating him as a good man, that God was being generous towards him, a sinner, that God was being profligate towards him in his generosity when he didn't deserve it. Abraham saw that God was counting him as righteous. Abraham believed God. You may remember yesterday that I said, well, what did Abraham believe about God? That God was being good to him, that God was treating him as a righteous man. But then comes verse 5 that makes it even more clear, my friend. "But to him who does not work," now this is the verse that I found incredibly difficult to take years ago, and you might have problems with it yourself. "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted as righteousness." Now look, justifies the ungodly. Pause, stop, think about that. Justifies means to declare innocent. Declaring innocent the who? The ungodly? To him who does not work but believes in on him who declares innocent the ungodly? You know what the King James Version says here, even more stark. "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the wicked." Now, you know, in my perfectionistic days, this verse was incomprehensible to me. In fact, of course, I just ignored it. I passed over it. You don't declare the wicked innocent. You only declare the repentant innocent, or the sincere innocent, or the surrendered innocent, or the overcomer innocent. When you've been willing to put aside all your sins and dedicate yourself to God and purify your heart, then you're innocent, aren't you? I mean, we all have had this idea, haven't we, that if I surrender enough, or am sincere enough, or repent enough, then I will be declared innocent by God. I will have the judgment removed from me. And to some of us, in our delusion, we think this is a good deal. We think God is saying, well, look, you repent or surrender to me or dedicate yourself to me, and I will forget all your sins. And we say, well, that's a good deal. And then after a week of repenting and surrendering or committing ourselves or whatever we do, we ask ourselves, well, now, have I repented enough? Have I been sincere enough? Have I surrendered enough? And particularly, you know, if you're struggling with an addiction or some obsessive thought or behavior, compulsive behavior, you will say that very often. You'll say, well, yes, I repented of it, but I don't know whether I really did repent of it because I still really want it. I remember when I prayed yesterday, you might say, I repented before God, but in my secret heart, I still wanted it, that thing that I am so obsessed by. So you're forever doubting the sincerity of your repentance. You're forever doubting whether your conversion really took. And you're forever concentrating on yourself, making sure that you get that change of heart deep enough. But do you ever have to ask, am I wicked enough? Am I ungodly enough? Do you get what I'm saying? Because it says here, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the sincere or the converted. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Who justifies the ungodly, the wicked. So God declares innocent the wicked. Do you ever have to ask yourself, am I wicked enough? No, of course. No, you don't. But the truth of the matter in this verse is that the wicked, the ungodly, who trust in Jesus and the Father to declare them righteous, to treat them as righteous, they are the ones. And it was a verse, and it was verses like this, and there are a few others. It's not just the verses, but the whole tenor and whoop and wharf of Paul's book here in Romans. It was verses like this and the whole tenor of the book that completely revolutionized my faith, and more than that, completely revolutionized my paradigm of God, my perception of who God is and what he was doing, my friend. I mean, once I dared to believe it, and I will tell you, it took faith courage to believe this, because I was almost afraid I was blaspheming to believe it. But once I dared believe it, then I knew that there was hope for this sinner, Colin Cook, that there was hope beyond all the horrible, distorted, perverted thinking and feeling and emotions in my humanity, that I was forever trying to clear out and shovel away and get rid of. I was in a situation in which I was completely consumed by my own religious progress, always trying to clear the path, clear the decks, convert again, back to square one, repent all over again. And it was what I have often called, and still do, a religious neurosis. You may well identify with what I'm talking about. If you do, then I have light for you today, my friend, and it is Romans 4, verse 5. If you do, then this is the moment that your heart can be lifted of its burden. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are worn down and work hard, all you who labor and are heavy laden, spiritually especially. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest that comes from knowing that our Father in heaven and his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity, have set to it and agreed that they will lift the burden of all humanity and declare them innocent, even though they are ungodly, by and as they trust in Jesus, who is the execution for all of their sinfulness and their whole humanity. My dear friend, go back home to God in a simple way of trust. This weekend, pause and ponder what this means for you. In your struggle with addiction, with compulsive behaviors and obsessive thoughts that you have not yet succeeded in clearing out, lift up your heart and know that your Heavenly Father treats you, a wicked man or woman, as if you were innocent. You see, this changes the whole status of the mind. We lift our heart up and we say, Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm counted as righteous. Thank you that there's no judgment against me. Thank you that I am no longer abandoned under your wrath. Thank you that I am reconciled to you. Thank you, Father, that there is rejoicing in your kingdom. Oh, dear God, I'm afraid because I don't have all my sins cleared out and I still desire them. And I was tempted today or tonight or yesterday and I will do it again, I fear. But I thank you that I'm counted as righteous, a wicked man, and as I am counted as righteous, I have more courage to work on the struggles that are before me. This, my friend, is what good news is all about. Now, my friend, on April the 30th, Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, with a break for lunch at La Quinta Inn in Colorado, that is in Lakewood, Colorado, we have our next seminar, Exploring How We Grow. You understand that what I just talked about before the break is a major part of exploring how we grow. Once we know that God treats us, broken, fallen, ungodly human beings, as righteous, that is a new spurt of growth. That leads to a new spurt of growth. That leads to the foundations for growth. But you know, in spite of, or rather in addition to all of that, growth is taking place, believe it or not, because of the love of God, before ever you were converted. God was growing you when you had no idea that he lived or existed or you ever believed in him. This is the incredible grace of God. But then there are other factors that stemmy growth. There are wounds in childhood that we cannot get past until we look at them and apply faith to them. That's also to do with growth. So we're going to explore all the dynamics of growth, or many of them, in this seminar, and you will have an eye-opener in regard to how it's all working inside of you. So, I invite you to this seminar on the 30th of April at the La Quinta Inn in Lakewood, Colorado. And admission is by donation, my friend. So, if you can afford to bring $70 to $110, it will help the annual budget of FaithQuest. But if you can't, don't worry. Bring what you can. All donations are gladly accepted. Turn up at 9 o'clock. See you then. In fact, try to get there earlier, and I'll see you then. So, cheerio, and God bless till next time.